الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الكلام كلام الله، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أخرج البخاري في صحيحه عن ابن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما أنه قال: مر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بحائط من حيطان المدينة أو مكة، فسمع صوت إنسانين يعذبان في قبورهما، فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لأصحابه: إنهما ليعذبان، وما يعذبان في كبير. ثم قال: بلى، أي إنه لكبير. كان أحدهما لا يستتر من بوله، وكان الآخر يمشي بالنميمة، ثم دعا بجريدة فكسرها كسرتين فوضع على كل قبر منهما كسرة. فقيل له: يا رسول الله، لما فعلت هذا؟ قال: لعله أن يخفف عنهما ما لم تيبسا، أو قال إلى أن ييبسا. معاشر المؤمنين، تضمن هذا الحديث الوارد بعدة طرق في الصحيحين وغيرهما وبألفاظ متقاربة، تضمن إخبار النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بما كان في هذين القبرين. مر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بالقبرين، والباء هنا كما يقول النحاة نائبة، أو أنها في رواية أخرى نيب عنها بعلى، فالألفاظ التي جاءت بعلى تقدر على معنى بي، فلا يؤخذ منها جواز المشي على القبور، فإنه صلى الله عليه وسلم قد نهى عن ذلك. فمر بالقبرين أيوة هو في الطريق إلى بعض شأنه، ثم قال لأصحابه بعد أن أسمعه الله عز وجل مما كان في هذين القبرين من أنين جراء العذاب الذي لقي صاحبهما، قال: إنهما ليعذبان. ولم يسمع الصحابة من ذلك شيئا. قال: إنهما ليعذبان، وهذا من أمور الغيب، أطلع الله عز وجل عليه نبيه، فلا يحل لأحد أن يشهد على صاحب قبر بعذاب أو نعيم، لأنه ليس أحد يأتيه الغيب من الله إلا بوحي، وقد انقطع الوحي مذ مات رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. فمن زعم أن بعض القبور تحديدا وتعيينا يعذب، لأنه يدعي علم الغيب، أما رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقد أطلعه الله على شيء من الغيب، ليس في هذه الحادثة دون غيرها، بل أطلعه الله عز وجل على ما كان في معركة مؤتة وهو بالمدينة، حتى وصف لهم وصف العيان ما يدور فيها. وهذا مما يختص به رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم دون غيره. وقد أعلم النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الصحابة عن سبب عذاب صاحبي القبرين، ولم يكن ذلك ليعلم من مجرد السماع، وإنما فيه مزيدة إخبار من الله عز وجل أن ما سمعه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من العذاب في هذين القبرين إنما كان بسبب كذا وكذا، فأعلمه الله عز وجل ذلك. فقال صلى الله عليه وسلم: إنهما ليعذبان بسبب أمر لم يكن بالكبير عليهما. هذا الأمر الذي عذب فيه، أو هذين الفعلين، لم يكونا بالكبير، بالشيء الكبير عليهما فعله، أما أحدهما فكان يمشي بالنميمة بين الناس، فلم يكن بالكبير عليه ترك النميمة، وأما الآخر فكان لا يستنزه ولا يستبرئ ولا يستتر من بوله، ولم يكن هذا أمرا كبيرا عليه، وإلا لما حاسبه الله، لأن الله قال لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها. وقد جاء في الحديث عنه صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه رأى رجلا يأكل بشماله فقال له كل بيمينه، فقال لا أستطيع، فقال لا استطعت، دعا عليه. فلو كان الرجل حقا غير مستطيع لدعا له النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ولما دعا عليه، وهو الرحيم بأمته، ولكن الرجل امتنع كبرا، امتنع كبرا. ومن امتنع من أداء أي أمر واجب في الشريعة هوى أو كبرا عوقب به، فلا يجوز لأحد أن يمتنع عن تنفيذ ما أراد الله عز وجل من الفعل والترك لمجرد هواه، كما في قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم من جر ثوبه خيلاء فهو في النار، وكذلك قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم ما دون الكعبين ففي النار. فالأول فيه عقوبة من قصد الكبر، والثاني فيه عقوبة من فعل الفعل ولو كان عن غير قصد لكنه فعله عمدا، أطال ثوبه إلى ما دون الكعب عمدا ليس سهوا ولا اضطرارا، اشترى ثوبا فكان طويلا وعزم أن يلبسه حتى فقط يصل إلى الخياطين، ثم أخذ يرفعه بيده ويتفلت منه، فمثل هذا لا شيء عليه. أما من يذهب إلى الخياطين ويقول انزل دور الكعبين فهذا عامد متعمد قاصد، جزاؤه أن ما دون الكعبين ففي النار. ولكن بعض الناس يعمد إلى النصوص ليؤولها كيف شاء، ليؤولها كيف شاء. لذلك نحذر يا عباد الله. قال صلى الله عليه وسلم بلى إنه لكبير، أي عند الله كبير، عند الله أن يبول الإنسان في مكان يابس كأن يبول إلى صخر أو في دورات المياه الموجودة الآن حيث الحيطان والأرضيات صلبة، وهو يعلم جراء ذلك أنه يرتد على بدنه وثوبه، ثم لا يحتاط ولا يهتم ولا يبالي. وإذا ما وقع منه ذلك وعلم أنه وقع على ثوبه أو بدنه لا يستبرئ منه فيغسله. وبعضهم يظهر عورته إن أراد قضاء حاجته، إن أراد قضاء حاجته أظهر عورته ولا يبالي. ونرى هذا ونلاحظه في دورات المياه العامة كدورات مياه المساجد، يدخل الإنسان وقد رفع ثوبه وهو يلبس سروالا قصيرا تحت ثوبه، ويقول أنا لا علي شيء، أنا رجل. لا والله لست برجل، من خالف أمر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ليس برجل، إنما الرجل من امتثل أمر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، هذا هو الرجل. وليست المرأة مرأة حقا إلا إذا امتثلت أمر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. والبعض يتساهل في ذلك حتى إنه يدخل دورات المياه جمعوا فيها المياه القذرة النجسة، ولا يبالي حتى يجلس ليقضي حاجته، فإذا بثوبه يمس الأرض ولا يبالي، فيخرج ويتوضأ ويصلي. فمثل هذا يا إخوان قد لا تصح منه الصلاة، ولو ارتد البول عليه أو علق شيء من مياه الأرض في الحمامات في ثوبه صلى وهو يحمل النجاسة، فصلاته لا تصح لأن طهارة الملبوس في صحة الصلاة. فعلى الإنسان أن يحذر. وقد قال الله عز وجل وتحسبونه هينا وهو عند الله عظيم، وجاء في صحيح ابن حبان من حديث أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه يعذبان عذابا شديدا في ذنب هين، يعذبان عذابا شديدا في ذنب هين لو اجتنباه. أي عباد الله، يقول نبينا صلى الله عليه وسلم لا يستتر من بوله، أي لا يتوقع في أحد معنيه يستتر، وفي الآخر قال صلى الله عليه وسلم كما عند ابن خزيمة من حديث أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه مرفوعا أكثر عذاب القبر من البول. وفي السنن أيضا عنه رضي الله عنه استنزهوا من البول فإن عامة عذاب القبر من البول. أي معاشر من خاف عذاب القبر، إنما سمعتم من جزاء الذي لا يستنزه ولا يستبرئ من بوله ولا يستتر وهو في تلك الحالة، ليس هو الذنب الوحيد الذي يكون بسببه عذاب القبر، كما سمعتم عامة عذاب القبر وليس كله، لكن قد جاء في سياق الحديث الوعيد الشديد لمن يمشي بالنميمة بين الناس، وهي نقل الكلام بين الناس على وجه الإفساد. وقد ذم الله تعالى ذلك في كتابه حيث قال للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ولا تطع كل حلاف مهين هماز مشاء بنميم. فالنمام عنصر منبوذ مفسد في المجتمع، أما إذا كان نقل الكلام لمصلحة، لفعل مصلحة أو ترك مفسدة، فهذا مندوب إليه، وربما كان واجبا في بعض الأحيان والمواقف، كأن يرى الإنسان إنسانا يفعل منكر ويجاهر به أو يسعى في نشره وإشاعته، فهنا يجب على من رآه أو علمه نقل ذلك إلى من يعينه على إيقاف هذا المنكر كالولاة وغيرهم، منعا لفشو المنكرات بين المسلمين. وقد ورد في بعض طرق الحديث التي أخرجها البخاري في الأدب المفرد أنه صلى الله عليه وسلم قال أما أحدهما فكان يغتاب الناس، وأخرج أحمد والطبراني بإسناد صحيح قال مر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بقبرين فقال إنهما ليعذبان وما يعذبان في كبير، وبكى. وفيه وما يعذبان إلا في الغيبة والبول. وفي المسند والطبراني أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مر على قبر يعذب صاحبه فقال إن هذا كان يأكل لحوم الناس، وأكل لحوم الناس يسبق على الغيبة والنميم، وهما خلتان محرمتان بإجماع المسلمين، كما حكى ذلك النووي في الأذكار وتضافرت الأدلة على بيان ذلك. لكن من اغتاب صاحب فضل وعلم، ومن اغتاب ولاة الأمور، ليس كمن اغتاب عامة الناس، وإن كان باغتياب عامة الناس ذنب، ولكن الذنب أعظم إن كان من في غيبته، إن كان اغتياب من في غيبته ضياع للناس وحصول للفتن والمشاكل. فعلينا أن نتحرى الخير ونهتدي به ونلتزمه. فاتقوا الله عباد الله، واحذروا من أذية المسلمين، فإن خطرها عظيم وأثرها في الإساءة والإفساد جسيم، وقد أعد الله لمرتكبها العذاب الأليم. فاستغفروا الله إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، خالق الخلق أجمعين، وحاشرهم للحساب والقصاص يوم الدين. والصلاة والسلام على سيد الخلق أجمعين، وإمام الأنبياء والمرسلين، والشافع المشفع يوم الدين، وآله الطيبين وأزواجه الطاهرات أمهات المؤمنين، ومن استنى بسنته واهتدى بهديهم إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد جاء في الحديث آنف الذكر أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم دعا بعسيب رطب، وهو غصن نخلة لم يجف، فكسره شقين، فوضع على كل قبر منهما كسرة. ولما سئل عن ذلك أجاب بقوله لعله أن يخفف عنهما ما لم يئبسا. أي عباد الله، نبينا صلى الله عليه وسلم لم يكن يعلم الغيب، ولكن أعلمه الله عز وجل ببعض الغيب في بعض المواقف، إما ليكون من باب الإعجاز فهو يخبر عما هو من الغيب فيراه الناس مشاهدة فيكون تأييدا من الله له، وإما أن يكون من باب الإكرام له صلى الله عليه وسلم، وهو حقيق بذلك. فلا يصح لأحد أن يأتي اليوم ليزعم أن أحدا من أهل القبور بعينه يعذب، وما أدراك لعل الله غفر له. وكيف يتألى هذا على الله ويجزم بأن الله لم يغفر لفلان وقد جاء النهي عن ذلك؟ وفي وضع الأشجار على القبور اليوم زعم بادعاء الغيب، واختلاس لخصوصية من خصوصيات النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. فإن واضع الشجر اليوم على القبور يزعم أنه يدري بأن صاحب هذا القبر معذب، وهو في ذات الوقت يزعم أن له ذات المكانة التي للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم عند الله، فيزعم أنه بشفاعته جزما سيتوقف العذاب عن هذا الإنسان. وهذا والله كذب وافتراء وافتيات على الله وعلى رسوله، فاحذروه يا عباد الله. لا يجوز أبدا أن يوضع الشجر على القبور، بل إن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لم يفعله إلا مع هذين، لم يفعله إلا مع هذين، وليس معصوما إلا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، وقد مات كثير من أصحابي في عهدي ووسدهم فلم يفعل ذلك معهم، وإنما فعله هنا لبيان خطورة هذين الجرمين، وهما الغيبة والنميمة وعدم الاستنزاه والاستبراء والاستتار من البول. وقد جاء أيضا عن عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله عنهما أنه مر على قبر عبد الرحمن بن أبي بكر الصديق رضي الله عنه، وعليه فسطاط مضروب أي خيمة يظلل القبر من حر الشمس. فقال ابن عمر، واسمعوا بارك الله فيكم، قال ابن عمر: يا غلام انزعه فإنما يظله عمله. رواه البخاري. والله لو جعلوا أجهزة التكييف في القبر، ولو جعلوا له من الوسائد والفرش الوثيرة فيه، والله ما أغناه ذلك عن العذاب إن حق له، إن حق عليه. فعلى الإنسان أن يلتزم هدي الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم ولا يتجاوزه فعلا أو تركا. فاتقوا الله عباد الله حق التقوى، واعلموا أن أجسادكم على النار لا تقوى، فاحفظوا ألسنتكم من الولوغ في أعراض المسلمين بعامة، وأعراض ولاة أمرها من العلماء والأمراء بخاصة، واستبرئوا من النجاسات، واستنزهوا من القذورات، واستروا عوراتكم، فإن نبيكم صلى الله عليه وسلم قد قال: استر عورتك إلا عن زوجتك أو ما ملكت يمينك. واعلموا أنه ليس ينفع ثم أي في القبر، حيث يكون المرء وحده إلا عمله، فأحسنوا الأعمال تطب لكم منازل القبور، وتأمنون يوم العرض والنشور، وتكونون في جنات النعيم مع الأنبياء والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين في غاية من الحبور. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين، وأقم الصلاة إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر، والله يعلم وأنتم لا تعلمون. والصلاة والسلام على ثمان الأكملان على محمد رسول الله، سيد الأولين والآخرين، وإمام الأنبياء والمرسلين، وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن اجتنى بسنته واهتدى بهديه إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد. As you hear, brothers and sisters, that the khutbah was about some of the views or causes of the punishment of the grave. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala reported in the Sahih on the authority of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, that he said that the Prophet ﷺ passed by a garden in Medina or in Mecca, and he then healed the crying coming from two graves. But this was healed by him alone. Those who were with him from the Sahaba did not hear it. As he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the other hadith, if it is not that you are going to stop burying one another, I would have made you to hear the punishment of the grave. So from that we know that the companion of the Rasulullah who passed by the grave along with him did not hear that sound coming from the graves. But he saw Sallam did. And whether that he used to hear that every time he comes to the grave or not, the ulama said that it is not that he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, used to hear every
time he comes to the graves. But he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was allowed to hear, in particularly, what happened in those two graves. And in that only time, because these, another hadith, it was said that these were new graves, recently, two deceased bodies were buried there. So, another hadith he asked the Sahaba, who did you bury in these two graves? And they told him who were there. So he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said then, verily these people in these two graves are punished now. And they are not punished for something major, for something big. And then he said, nay, meaning it is big, it is something major, it is something serious. One of them did not use to protect himself from the reflection of his urine, whatever he urinated. And the other used to walk between people with slandering and backbiting. So he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then asked one of the Sahaba to go and bring him fresh branch of a palm tree. So he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, broke it into two, and he erected one on one grave and the other on the other grave. And then he said, the punishment is going to be reduced. Now stop. The punishment is going to be reduced for them as long as these two pieces of the branch of the tree still fresh. So when they die, the punishment will go back as it used to be. All people, all believers who fear the punishment of the graves, this hadith contains the news that Allah Ta'ala permitted His Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to hear what everyone else cannot hear. But this was, as I said, for that particular time. And the Ikhwan, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, passed by the grave of his mother, and he did not say that he hears her crying. Will that mean that because she is not punished? The answer is no. And the proof is that he cried. And when he was asked, why was he crying? He did not say, because I hear my mother crying from the punishment. But he said that I asked Allah to permit me visit her grave, and He permitted me. And when I asked Him to permit me to seek forgiveness for her, Allah Ta'ala prevented me from doing that. So this means that Rasulullah did not used to hear the sound and crying of punishment every time that he passes by, as he doesn't know the unseen. He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, doesn't know the unseen except what Allah Ta'ala made him to know. Like what happened in the Battle of Mu'tah, when he was in Medina, and Mu'tah is in the north of the Arabian Peninsula. And he was describing what's happening there like he's seeing it. So this was a miracle that Allah Ta'ala supported His Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam with. And this did not used to be something regular. It did not used to be something regular.
as in the story of Hatib ibn Abi Balta'a رضي الله تعالى عنه, when Rasulullah sallam planned to march to Mecca and conquer it. Hatib then, he was one of the great companions, by the way. No one to have bad impression about him. He's a great companion. But because he was one of the weak Sahaba, meaning weak in power and family members, he wasn't one of the people of Mecca, and his people were nothing, and his family were in Mecca. So just to have a hand with the people of Mecca, with which his family is going to be protected, he favored them by sending a letter with a woman telling them that Rasulullah ﷺ planned to come and conquer Mecca. This woman left Medina, and after she got a big distance to a place called Nakhla, Rasulullah ﷺ sent Ali radiallahu anhu and Abu Musa al-Ash'ari. And he told them, you go and chase this woman, and you will find her in a place called Nakhla. You can only catch her at the place called Nakhla. Ask her to give you the message. So they moved from Medina on their horses, and they only could call it in that exact place, Nakhla. So this is unseen, but that was from Allah Ta'ala. When you look to it, in the Battle of Badr, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wanted to know what is the number of Quraysh when they are coming to fight him, and he wanted to know where are they? But he could not know. He needed to ask the Shibr who passed by them. He asked them, how many camels do they slaughter for the food? So if he knows the unseen, he does not need to ask these questions. And even the cause of the Battle of Badr, which was the caravan coming with Abu Sufyan from Sham with a lot of goats for the people of Mecca. So he came out of Medina to capture it. But Abu Sufyan knew from some people on the way about this, and he changed his route. Rasulullah did not know about that. So this shows us that he doesn't know the unseen. It happened for some times that Allah Ta'ala made him to know the unseen for a purpose. This purpose is to be a miracle, like what happened to him in the incident of Al-Isra and Al-Mi'raj. Rasulullah saw Bayt al-Maqdis only once at night, and it was in that night which he went on a journey to the heavens. So only for a few minutes he was in Masjid al-Aqsa. When he came back and he told the people of Quraysh that he was last night, he went to from Mecca to Bayt al-Maqdis in Palestine, and he was lift up to the heavens. And then he came back and they were still sleeping. They mocked him. They said, come on, what do you say? Going from Mecca to Bayt al-Maqdis needs a month. One way journey, a month. And you're telling us that you've been to Bayt al-Maqdis. Not only that, been left to the heavens and came back to Bayt al-Maqdis and then came back to Mecca. All this in one night and we were still sleeping. And they knew that he'd never been to Bayt al-Maqdis.
before this time? He'd never been there. So they said, okay, describe it for us. How come you describe some place which you saw only once? And then Jibreel alayhi salam, by the command of Allah, showed him Bayt al-Maqdis on his hand, like if he's now watching it there. It's alive, broadcasting, and we would say as today's impressions. And this was only from Allah Ta'ala as a miracle for him. As a miracle for him, to support him. So Rasulullah does not know the unseen. Not like many people today say that Rasulullah knows the unseen. They use general evidences, which is wrong. For example, they say, okay, there are angels. Once you say Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they convey to him in his grave in Medina. That's correct. They say they know where you are. I say, no, he doesn't know. He doesn't know. He doesn't know where we are. But he knows that we send salam to him because the angel conveyed it to him. Not because he hears us. It's the angel who conveyed it to him. Now, so we have to understand this well. That Isa, when he said this, that these two people in the graves are punished, he did not know the unseen in general, but in the specific times like this, Allah Ta'ala allowed him to hear. That's all. Nothing else. And then he said, why these two people in these two graves are punished? And he said, it is something simple. It's not something big, ya ikhwan, which today many, many Muslims, they don't consider something important. They don't care about. One of them did not use to protect himself from the reflection of urine. And he did not use to have a shelter when he wants to urinate. He just go in and open and take off his clothes and that's wrong, Yaquan. That's wrong. And some might say, we are only men. We are all here men. Even men. Rasulullah was asked, our private parts, what we can expose, what we can't. He said, if you can hide it from everyone except your wife and your milkul yameen, meaning the female slave that you enjoy, then do. Meaning don't allow anybody to see your private parts. Not only private parts, even thighs and awra, till the knees. You're not allowed to show that. Many Muslims today go to the beach and they wear something, a'udhu billah. Very bad. Very bad. Why? Because they just don't care. And also, this hadith came in many different terminologies. One said, la yastabri, la yastanzi, la yastatir. We can understand it as this. La yastanzi, meaning he does not take care when he urinates from the, he chooses the place. And if you are like Rasulullah, when he used to urinate in a place which is solid, he sits down. So the urine does not reflect on his body or his clothes. But when he uses in a losing soil, like he did one time, and also he did it twice, Abdullah ibn Umar reported that one day Abdullah ibn Umar climbed over the top roof of the house of Hafsa, his sister, the mother of believers, wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, And he went for something. He went to bring something, but accidentally he saw Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in one of his houses, passing urine, standing position, facing the Bayt al-Maqdis, meaning backing the Kaaba. So here we understand that he did not pass urine in a standing position in a solid place. It was soil. It absorbs immediately the urine. It does not reflect it. But when you urinate on rock or something like that, you have to be careful. You have to be careful. And the second incident is that it is said that one day he came to a dumping area or a trash area. Spoiled area at that time is a place where it is all soft. Soil and maybe has some liquids. So it is very soft. So he urinated in a standing position. So it is no problem to urinate in a standing position if you are in a place where it is soil, it is loose, it absorbs the urine. It does not reflect it back on you. And also, the other word was لا يستبرع. And either one, لا يستبرع or لا يستبرع, means one of the other, one of the two meanings. And it means that if it happens for any reason that the urine reflected on your body, you have to wash it. You have to wash it. You have to wash your, if it came on your clothes, you have to wash that part of the clothes. Not all the clothes, but you have to wash that place and around it. And not only to wipe over it, but to put more water than it. So it removes it. As Rasulullah Sallam did when the man came to the masjid and he urinated in a corner of in one of the corners of the masjid. And he Sallam told the Sahaba, just bring a bucket of water which is more than the amount of the urine and pour it over it. So when the water is more than the amount of urine, it will remove it. It will remove it. You don't need to wipe it until you take it out of the masjid, or you don't need to take your clothes and put it in a washing machine. Just if it is a reflection and then you pour a cup of water like this on it, khalas, it's enough. It's enough. But to just ignore it, that's a problem. That's a problem. Now, and the other expression was La yastatir. The ulama said yastatir could be the same meaning of taking protection from reflection of the urine. But some other ulama said no, yastatir is from the basic meaning of it. To take a burial or a shelter or something to cover yourself, not to be seen in this position when you are urinating. To hide your awrah. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever he used to urinate in the open area like desert, he did not use to raise up or lift his clothes until he is just by the ground. Not like today, they raise up their clothes before. No, that's not acceptable, akhi. That's for those who wear thobes, like the Arabs. But Westerns, it's even worse, because they are not going to raise, they are going to put down, which is even worse. When we talk about raising, so it means that you are going to show your thighs. But when you lower down your trousers, you are going to expose your direct awrah, which is haram, which is really haram. So he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said so. And the Hadith, he said, وَمَا يُعَذَّبَانَ إِنَّهُمَا لَيُعَذَّبَانِ بِكَبِيرٍ. He said, وَمَا يُعَذَّبَانِ بِكَبِيرٍ. They will not punish for something major, meaning something big for them to do. No. If it is difficult for one to do, Allah is not going to punish you. When it is something that you can't do, even if it is obligatory, Allah will not punish you. But when it is something that you can't do, why you don't obey? Why you don't obey? As I said in the example I gave on the member, some people say, for example, they extend the length of their clothes to make it lower than the ankles. And then they say, we're not doing that for kibr. We say, akhi, it's not a matter of kibr only. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned the two reasons. One kibr, one without kibr. When it is with kibr, it is even worse. It is even worse. But he Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, مَا دُونَ الْكَعْبَيْنِ أَوْ مَا أَسْفَيَ مِنَ الْكَعْبَيْنِ فَبِالنَّارِ. What is lower than the ankles is in the fire. He did not mention the reason why it is lower. And that's why Abu Bakr, when he hears this, he was very scared. He said, Ya Rasulullah, my izar is the lower garment. My izar, the belt of it or the elastic part of it is loose. So it goes down every time and I keep lifting it up. He said, you are not from them. It is not because you are Abu Bakr, you can do everything you want and you are not from them. No. And it's because you are not from them, because you are trying to do your best. Period. But to go to the tailor and tell him, make a top for me or trousers and make it lower than the ankle. And then you say, I don't have intention of kibr. Or say, nay, it is a kibr. It is a kibr. And I said to one who asked me about this, I said, look, akhi, woman exposing her face or any forbidden part, because face, maybe some say, oh, there's an opinion. Okay, woman exposing her breast, is this haram or halal? Definitely, every Muslim knows that it is haram. If she says, I don't do it to cause fitna to the men, I have no intention to do that, we say it is okay, because you have no intention to cause fitna. Subhanallah. When it said forbidden, that says forbidden. We don't need your intention then. And even your intention does not make anything in that. Does not change. So we have to, and I said to him, look, if someone come to somebody, someone who is rich or high position, let's say a director calls his T-boy who is very low in front of everyone like that, yo, Kim, what does that mean? And he says, I don't intend the kibr. I say, you are a liar. The expression shows that you are having kibr. Whether you intend it, you don't. This act is act of kibr. So the lowering the thawb is act of kibr. Thawb or trousers or longi or whatsoever. Anything that covers the lower part must not go below the ankles. Period. You don't tell me then the intention or no intention. And same thing with this. If he goes to your mate and he says, oh, I don't intend to cause the splash urine. We say, well, you intend or you don't, up to you. But it is clearly said it is not allowed, it is haram, it is a cause of punishment in the grave. You have to take protection. And if, for example, it happened accidentally, then you have to wash it. You don't just ignore and go and perform wudu and then go pray. This prayer is not accepted. This prayer is not accepted, Yaqwa. So we have to be careful of that. And what if the one who is surrendering the others is saying, I don't intend to surrender? Say, Akhi, you intend or you don't intend to surrender. It's a backbiting. And everyone does anything wrong and comes out, I don't intend. As I hear a very silly thing from some people saying that a man handshaking a woman who's not mahram and kissing her cheek is no problem because he does not have any bad intention. MashaAllah. MashaAllah. Yani billahi, Rasulullah, yani is there any possibility that Rasulullah have bad intention? Could happen that Rasulullah had bad intentions? He did not touch any woman which is not mahram. And then they mix together, men and women, and they say, okay, no problem because our hearts are pure. Yes, your heart is pure of iman. There is no any drop of iman in it. It's very pure. It's just only a solid thing, that's it. Has no any iman in it. Because if you have iman, you cannot reject the command of Rasulullah by saying that, oh, I have iman. And then what do you think? Abu Bakr Siddiq doesn't have it? Doesn't have iman? He did not mix with women. But these people are, subhanAllah, they are trying to corrupt Islam by something that we cannot judge. Intention, intention. Intention is before Allah. We don't know what is in your heart. But we know your act. If it is the sunnah or not. If it is about what Allah commanded you to do or not. Then we can judge you from there. What is in your intention is between you and Allah. Now, so the Prophet ﷺ said, the punishment of the grave is due to these main reasons. Not the only causes of the punishment of the grave, but these are main. And when backbiting and surrendering is forbidden for the normal people, then it is worse when it comes to the level of scholars and rulers. Because the damage that you are going to cause with normal people is severe, but it is not as severe as the one with the rulers and the scholars. And by the way, Akhwan, backbiting and surrendering does not necessarily to be in hidden. If you write on internet, if you speak on media, this is also called backbiting and surrendering. And it's not allowed. When you speak against others, this is not allowed. It is allowed only when it can bring something good or something haram. Example, if you see someone doing something haram, and then you go to the police or go to the ruler or go to someone who you think that he can stop it, then yes, that is not a surrender or backbiting. But just to sit to your friend and speak about that person who does this and does that, what is the benefit? Where is the benefit? You are only exposing him to the people for no reason. That is not allowed. That is haram. So we have to understand that, and even when somebody does a sin in hidden and you knew about him, you're not allowed to bring it out. If accidentally you raise the handset to call someone to dial a number, and this phone is does have another set, and you hear your friend talking to a girl. Now, who knows about this other than you? So you don't go and tell people. You can go and advise them. But you don't go and speak to the others. This is haram. This is haram. Because this sin wasn't hidden. You don't deal with it in open. But you go to the person, and if you think that, oh, if I talk to him, he's going to cause me a problem, then you see someone who can inflict on him, or this person listen to, then you tell him. But not to tell this man and that man and that man and that. What's the benefit of that? And the funny thing is that he comes to you and says, look, I'm going to tell you a secret. Please don't tell nobody. Have I heard it? Oh, I saw so and so. I hear them talking to a girl. Please, keep this between you and I. Good. And then he goes to the next person. I have a secret. Can you have it? Can you save it? Are you able to keep it? Not expose it? What it is? Oh, I hear somebody. And then you go to the third, fourth. It's not hiding the sin of the person. It only wants to be that the only publisher of it. He doesn't want the others to publish it. Subhanallah. That's bad, ikhwan. So we have to understand this. But again, it does not necessarily that it does not necessarily mean that we all stop talking about others. La, we said, when it brings any good or stops any harm, then it is maybe obligatory. It depends, either permissible or preferable or compulsory. It depends on what is the reason for it. Now, so we have to understand that very well and protect ourselves from these two causes of the punishment of the grave, which is the first stage of the Akhirah. May Allah Ta'ala protect us from all types of punishments and make us from those who their sins were forgiven before they die. والله تعالى أعلم وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه